Welcome to the Bible class of Jews for Jesus.
Hanukkah is a festive time, a celebration time, not just with food, but it's always good to have food. It wouldn't be Jewish without food. Even Yom Kippur is about food, isn't it? You don't eat. It's whether you eat or you don't. It doesn't matter. It's all about food. Somebody said that every Jewish holiday can be described like this. We were on the brink of defeat. God saved us. Let's eat. I know that might be fairly simple. Simple enough for me, which I appreciate. But think about it. There's an awful lot to that. If you just eat for eating's sake, then you miss out. But if you eat, like we had tonight with the souganiyot, these special donuts, or with the latkes from my Ashkenazi tradition, they're both related to oil. And they're both related to being dipped in oil. And that when we try to memorialize something, we try to do it in a way that's instructive, as well as something that's fun. So when we do Hanukkah, for so many people, it has to do with, when do I get the presents? Well, a lot of kids are, right? We do it sometimes with food. When do we eat? But the smart thing is, when do we do presents that teach and food that teaches? Because if... When we want to pass things down to the next generation, or two generations, or 15 generations later, we have to do it in such a way that they can handle it. What I learned and what I experienced as a hippie in 1969 is different than my 17-year-old daughter can sort out today, though she admires and wishes she could have been a hippie. But if I teach her about it, then okay, there'll be some lessons learned. But not everything. You can't really experience it. You can only get close to the real thing. When we have dairy products during the holiday of Pentecost or Shavuot, we memorialize something about the Bible or God's Word being to us like milk and honey, sweet and good and instructive, and oh, I want to eat more of that. And so we love the Bible and we want to keep eating from the Bible, if you will. So it's a lesson that's fun. It's a lesson that's, whether it's healthy or not, I don't know. But we keep passing it down generation to generation. So we do these oily foods on the Hanukkah because you know the story. The story of Hanukkah, of course, has to do more than latkes and more than souganiyot. The festival of Hanukkah is about God saving the Jewish people. And at the end of that, the Jewish people went in under Judah Maccabee into the Holy Temple in Yerushalayim and dedicated the temple. Hanukkah, the temple. Hanukkah means dedication. So we Hanukkah the temple back to God. That's what the holiday is really about. But the legend is that Judah Maccabee and the boys go in and they find in the back room, like where you were tonight with the latkes, they find a little vial, a little jar, a little nothing, pitchkula amount of oil. And they say, oh, what's this? Among so many, you know, we've got these candles, these seven brand candelabrum, and this is the only dedicated sacred stuff. How are we going to make it? So they pour it, and miraculously, the oil lasts for 8 days. That's the story. They're sticking to it. The real miracle of Hanukkah is not about oil lasting 8 days, though it makes a great lesson and makes for great foods. The real lesson of Hanukkah is that we had a few people under Judah Maccabee who went up against the Syrian Greeks and won. It would be like us, our little club here tonight, saying, I think we can go up against the Iraqi forces and I think we can push them back and take care of Baghdad and Kabul in Afghanistan. I think, come on, let's go. And everybody would look at me like I was Meshuggy, and you'd be right. So they looked at Judah Maccabee and his father and the brothers and said, come on, let's go. Whoever's with God, let's go. Let's go take on these Syrian Greeks who were as powerful not as the Iraqis, but as the Americans in their day. And we were going to go take them on, and we didn't want to go win a war against the Syrian Greeks. We just wanted them out of our turf, right? We just wanted them to give us our temple and have sovereignty again so that we could worship God the way he told us to. Strangely, after a three-year revolt from 168 to 165 on the BC side of things, 165, 25th Kislev, we dedicated the temple. We got him out. We cleaned it up. Remember, the madman Antiochus, the king, had sacrificed a pig in the sacred place. I mean, this is as horrible as you could do to a Jewish site. And they cleaned it up, and they dedicated it. What's the word for dedicate? They counterfeit it back to God. And that's the miracle. The distraction is the legend. And we get into the distractions and we forget the real miracle. That a handful of Jewish guys could take on the powerful, the mighty, and win. So really, we were on the brink of defeat. We won. Let's eat. Makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense. If we eat and remember. We just eat because, hey, I don't know, the family gets together and we get presents, okay. It's the Jewish Christmas. Sometimes we do Chrismica. We have Hanukkah bushes. If we just do that for the sake of, I don't know what it means, but we're blending religions. If you do that, you miss the whole point. The whole point of this is to remember God, who, like David and Goliath, helped David knock down the big old mighty Goliath. It's the common story of the handful taking on the mighty and winning. But it's not about us. See, the wrong way to read that is, we were on the brink of defeat. We won. We won. Yo, we're good. That'd be a misread of history. It'd be a misread of God. It'd be a misread of yourself. If you know anything about yourself, you know what you can't do. Is that about right? You know your limits? Quoting Dirty Harry now. A wise man knows his limits. But when you think about it, we couldn't take on the Syrian Greeks. What are we? You know? Come on, let's go get them. And we might have a lot of zeal, and we might have a lot of koyach, and a lot of energy, and a lot of wishful thinking. But we would have never beaten the Syrian Greeks. God in his mercy gave us the victory so that there would be an Israel, so that from Israel would come the Messiah just 165 years later, who would be the Savior and light of the world for everyone. Rachel mentioned that the red one, the Shamas, lights the other three. Every day it's a different color. It's not red, it's the women. It's the servant that lights the other candles. And even the candles is a teaching about the 8 days, the celebration. I personally believe that Hanukkah, after they dedicated the temple back to God, and they'd been fighting for 3 years, the Jewish people in those days had not been able to celebrate Sukkot, Tabernacles, the only biblical 8-day Jewish holiday. So I think they celebrated Sukkot, and that's why it's an 8-day holiday. The legend of the oil, the next story. I don't want to demean it more than I have. There was controversy between the school of Hillel, the school of Shammai, whether we should light one the first night, two the second, three, etc., up to a full orb, 8 on the last night, which is the one that won out, or the school of Shammai that said, start with 8, and then the next night 7, and the next night 6, because it really evidences the dwindling of the miracle. Hillel won out, don't ask why. So every night we light the one, and then we light from the one all the others. So on the last night we'll have 9 candles glowing. It'll be a great testimony. But the rabbis have all kinds of rules about putting it in the window. It's got to be less than 30 foot off the ground. I don't know what you do if you're in a high-rise building. I'm sure there's halacha on that, but I don't know. Why do they say that? Why does it can't be here? It's got to be in the window, which is why we have the electric one there. Because it should be a statement to the people outside who walk past that Nes Gadol Hayasham, a great miracle, happened there. What's the miracle? Oil? the little beat up on the big because God chose to save Israel. That's what it's about. We light menorahs, we spin dreidels, we eat latkes. But the real miracle is that God saved the Jewish people from imminent defeat. How awesome is that? And because of that, then less than 2 centuries later, Messiah could come from us. If he had not spared us then, we would be hopeless. Thanks be to God. Nes Gadol Hayasham, a great miracle happened there. So that phrase, Nes Gadol Hayasham, he has initiated each of those words with a different Hebrew letter, Nun, Gimel, He, and Shin. And those are the 4 letters on the dreidel, which Mark is holding up for us just now. How good is that? We have lots of dreidels around here. There it is. So there's a Nun, a Gimel, a He, and a Shin. It's a gambling game where the house intends to lose. You wouldn't see that at the Crown Casino or Star City. But in a good Jewish home where the dreidel is spun by the children, the daddy is able, or the grandfather is able, to give more to the children than he takes away. It's a game designed to bless the kids. I like that. Again, if it's just the spinning, if it's just the gelt, if it's just the things, the kids miss it. But if we teach Nes Gadol Hayasham, a great miracle happened there, then we're doing our job to teach. And I say all that to say that the lesson of the candles is a lesson on what we as believers are supposed to do and be. The shamus, the servant candle, lights the other candles, and together they testify to the walking past world. That's really what God's done with us, isn't it? He's lit you. He's given you eternal life. And it'd be wrong to stay in your house and not shine that. It'd be right to be with the other candles in the family. We're all one big old menorah with a lot of different colors, aren't we? And a lot of different shapes and sizes. But we're making a testimony together to the world that Yeshua is the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and He alone came to shamus us, to serve us. And so we want the world to know about Him. That's why we gather together. Maybe we want to shout, Nes Gadol Haya Ho. A great miracle happened here. Not just in my heart, but in your heart and in our lives. We've come from a lot of different countries around the globe. Anybody born in Australia? Any of you born here? 3 of you? 5 of you? Look at that. This is so Australia. Just a few of you born here. The rest of us, you've welcomed in one way or another. Our joy as outsiders or insiders is to go and proclaim it 30 feet high and lower. Go and tell the good news that Messiah has come to be a light to the nations, to be a light to proclaim. If you're not yet a believer, I'm so glad you're here tonight. You've been able to enjoy our time together. This is great. Thank you. Maybe God wants to do a miracle in your life. And it's not just about latkes, and it's not just about oil, but it's about your heart. He wants to forgive you of your sins and light you and give you light in the midst of a dark world. I'd say the world's pretty dark and getting darker. Look at Jillian, the lady, the UK teacher in Sudan, who has a group of 7-year-old children, and she lets the children name their little teddy bear. And she's almost flogged 40 times for naming the child Muhammad. The world's getting darker. I went over to the Westfield just a little while ago. And for 3 stories high, you can see silver and blue trees and balls and glitter. And up there on the 5th floor, just tucked away between 2 audio places, is a panorama of the 3 wise men and a little baby Jesus. And a quote from the first Noel. Have they got it backwards or what? 3 stories tall of commercialism. 1 little corner of the real meaning of the story of Messiahness. Well, if you're not yet a believer, welcome, enjoy, so glad you're here. Maybe tonight the light of Messiah will come to you. Maybe you'll let Him light you My wife, who's been up the back frying those latkes, she made them at home and fried them here. I think she's probably frying more, so this is great. We used to live in New York City, and she's a very clean woman, very 100%, 110% clean woman. But whenever we came into the house, she would ask me to please go in the house, the apartment first, because I'd have to flip the switch, and then there'd be little scampering cockroaches that ran away. New York was owned by the cockroaches. They sold it to the Americans. Anyway, land lease program. So into that apartment I'd go, and I'd walk in, and the lights would come on, and cockroaches would run away. You know, cockroaches don't like the light. They scamper. So you'd always hear, scamper. Well, think about it. Tonight, if you're not yet a believer, you have a choice to be either a cockroach or a candle. Here's the light of Messiah coming as this shamus that lights every man. And the shamus comes to you, and you have a choice. You can run away and be a cockroach, or you can stand still and get lit. Stand still and get lit, or run away. A lot of people run away from the good news message that Yeshua died for our sins and rose from the dead. You've seen that with people, haven't you? Maybe you did that yourself. I sure did. People came up to me and told me Jesus died for my sins. Get out of here. And used other language that wasn't so conversational tonight. But one day I stopped and listened, and the light of the shamus came and lit me. After a service one night, I was shaking hands, I was speaking, and afterwards I shake hands with people. I don't know if I'll do that tonight, but I did this at a church meeting where I was speaking. And the pastor said, please stand here, Bob, and shake hands. So one guy came by and I said, how are you tonight? He said, saved and saving. I thought, well, I've never heard that one before, but I think I understand it. In light of what I've just been talking about, maybe we'll be answering that question. I'll say, how are you? And you'll say, lit and lighting. I'm lit and lighting. In other words, God lit me, and I'm going to the window to be lighting other people. Haruka, maybe that's why you've kind of dovetailed with us of late, and why you're wearing your necklace and you're witnessing to Jewish people. You're lit, and you're lighting others. Mark and Rachel moved here 4 years ago, almost 4 years, next month. They left London, where it was somewhat comfortable, except in winter. They came here to not only be lit and to live comfortably in Australia, but to do lighting to other people. Some of you are the beneficiaries of their lighting. That's what we're supposed to do together, brothers and sisters. The Song of Moses is great. All the nations will come and worship. That's it. We're supposed to go out to all the world. All the nations will worship and fear the name of the Lord. Jews, it's not just for us. It's for everybody. It's for everybody. Isn't that good? If you're a Gentile, that's good news for you. That's all I wanted to say tonight. We're going to be lit and lighting.
You've been listening to the Bible class of Jews for Jesus in Australia. For more information, contact us at Jews for Jesus, Post Office Box 925, Sydney, Australia, 2001. God bless you. Thank you.